It's Monday morning, and that means it's time to check out what's on the agenda for the week ahead. This week, we're joined by Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic. Also with us is Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Hello to both of you.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So the Trayvon Martin case continued to bring people out into the streets over the weekend. Thousands rallied in Miami yesterday, a day after another big rally in Sanford, Florida.
We are not going back to the days where we were killed and nobody did nothing about it. There will be justice for Trayvon Martin.
That's Reverend Al Sharpton speaking in Sanford on Saturday. Details and differing accounts of that night continued to trickle out last week and over the weekend. State and federal authorities are continuing to investigate what happened that February night between George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. But Molly, I want to ask you about this. This is all happening in Florida. And so at what point does this become a 2012 issue, a 2012 campaign issue?
Well, I would argue it became a political issue when the president weighed in on it a little over a week ago. I think that was sort of the debut, right, into the political discourse of this particular issue. And we had the Republican candidates weighing in on it around the same time, saying similar things, saying that they thought this was a tragic incident and hoped there would be justice. And then you had Newt Gingrich make some more controversial comments accusing the president of playing the race card in some way. That, I don't think, went over very well. I don't think Americans really want to see this turned into a partisan issue. I doubt the family wants to see it turned into a partisan issue. It seems like the kind of thing where hopefully people can agree that the justice ought to be done.
Yeah, where does it go from here? Charlie, you're my favorite theater critic around the office here. A lot of people don't
theater
know.
Theater and business.
Exactly. Charlie sees everything in New York and is a big theater critic. And I'm just wondering, it occurred to me to ask you this morning. I mean, in terms of race in America, you know, we're an act 50, you know, right? This has been going on since the founding of the country. But as far as this Trayvon Martin story is concerned and all the drama and the media coverage, do you think we're in Act 1, Act 2, or Act 3 here?
Well, thinking about it, it feels like maybe we're in Act 2, because Act 1, if we had the story, we had what happened, we had sort of this buildup of it becoming a national story. I sort of feel like we're at the opening of Act 2 in the sense that, you know, we're really having a discussion now across the country and there's a lot of different perspectives that it has become politicized in some ways. You know, what I worry about is that as we work towards some resolution and hopefully we will, I don't know if that will necessarily be satisfying to all the players who are involved in it, which, you know, may work really well for theater, but not necessarily for those people who are involved in this case, because it is a real life example, a real life thing that's happening.
Long way to go.
So the Trayvon Martin story has continued to eclipse the Republican primary, which is still going on. We have three votes coming tomorrow in Wisconsin, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. Yesterday, Mitt Romney picked up a key endorsement from Wisconsin Senator and Tea Party favorite Ron Johnson. Here he is on NBC's Meet the Press.
Governor Romney is the person to lead our party, to lead our nation. He fully understands the gravity of our financial situation. He is dedicated towards solving those problems.
So this primary is going on and on and on, Molly. What should we watch
and
for
on
this
on.
Week?
Well, we do have these three primaries tomorrow, and Romney seems to be favored to win them all. Wisconsin is sort of the most significant symbolically and also in terms of delegates, because it is yet another one of these sort of bellwether Midwestern Rust Belt states with a large sort of blue-collar population. And we've had Rick Santorum not being subtle at all about who he's trying to appeal to here, stumping across Wisconsin, drinking beer and bowling, and even playing shuffleboard in a bar at one point, to really emphasize that he's the one who's, you know, the grandson of coal miners and comes from Western Pennsylvania. He's not, say, for example, a fancy guy who has a big house with a car elevator in it. So really trying to emphasize that cultural distinction from Mitt Romney and win over people on that basis. So far, it doesn't look like he's going to fall short. And the problem with political contests is there are no prizes for second place. So even if he comes close to Romney and can say, look, these voters, they still want a choice, it's still not going to be enough to actually allow him to gain ground and gain delegates and get closer to possibly winning.
So as Rick Santorum's been bowling, Mitt Romney has been rolling out these major endorsements of national Republicans. If at the end of this week, the race is still no different than it was at the beginning of the week, what does that say about the Republican Party's ability to just sort of close ranks and say, let's call this and do this and focus on November?
Well, I think every time you have states voting and adding to that delegate total, the race does change. So I don't think it's possible that the race is in exactly the same place at the end of the week. Every time Romney adds to his lead, he gets closer to that threshold and he gets closer to that feeling of it being over, which I think we're well into the area where it's starting to feel like it's over. And that's why so many of these Republican establishment figures are saying, all right, let's call the game. Let's stop this messy infighting. Let's everybody get together and start putting in place the things that we need to do, both organizationally and just in terms of everybody being on the same message, so that we can look forward to November, because that's the ultimate goal.
And Charlie, today President Obama is going to sign the Jobs Act. What kind of difference is that going to make in terms of jobs created?
Well, I think in the short term, we probably won't see like a huge surge in the number of jobs created. And of course, this week is in economic figures. The big number, of course, is on Friday. We get the jobless figures. We get the unemployment figures. This Jobs Act is really to try and help companies, especially the smaller companies, go public. And the idea being that if they go public, they will hire more people. There are some statistics out there. Paid for by groups who actually are in support of this legislation. But finding that when companies go public is when they hire the majority of their people. But the thing about this law is that it's actually rolling back a lot of the protections that were put in place after the tech bust, after Enron, after really the financial crisis that we saw. So it may be easier for companies to go public, but there's no guarantee they're going to hire people. And there's also the worry that, do you end up creating more problems? Do you make it that investors don't know what they're getting into? So there could be problems down the road. You know, it's not really quite sure who this bill is helping out, because a lot of the companies that have been going public recently have done so even without this bill in place. Mm. So in the short term, will it help jobs? Probably not, but it may in the future.
I think we can get Charlie to predict the unemployment number by the end of the week.
What do you think it is?
I'm going to just say it stays at 8.3%, doesn't change. I'm just sort of going with what everybody else is saying.
All right. Well, we'll take a look on Friday. That's Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio, and Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.